much, ladies. That was a blessing. If you found Proverbs 27, you can go ahead and rise to your feet. I'm just going to read one through scripture application tonight. But this one verse in Proverbs 27 will be the main thrust of the message. And you'll find it in Proverbs 27, verse number 2. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. A stranger, in that little two-line verse that it shows in my Bible here, a lot in it. Today's subject for our tough topics for today's church is kind of a unusual or a unique one. But the fact of the matter is, I bet we've all known somebody through the years who has been guilty of this. I bet we've all been guilty ourselves a little bit of it, haven't we? Just this thought I mentioned this morning, tooting your own horn. We'll break that down in just a minute. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Father, help us now, I pray, in this time. As we open your word, I pray that you would use this time for your glory. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love practical, simple truth from the Word of God, don't you? Just little things that God gives us in His Word that helps us to know how to be better believers. Tooting your own horn. Now, Webster defines this term as simply this. It is to talk about oneself or one's achievements or accomplishments, especially in a way that shows pride. Now, I bet all of us have known somebody before in our life who you have talked to them, you've met with them, and you walked away and you thought, boy, they sure do enjoy talking about themselves, or what I'm calling tonight, tooting their own horn. There are those that are out there that are very difficult or very, very regularly in this, and they're difficult at times to deal with as a direct result of it. Now, in many cases, be it whether it be a momentary lapse of judgment or in some cases, just a constant thing that people have. When we do this, what we are really being is self-centered. We are being egotistical in a way. We're making everything all about us. Someone has said it this way, the smallest person in the world is the person wrapped in themselves. The smallest person in the world is the person wrapped in themselves. Think of it right now. I mentioned a second ago, I asked you, have you ever met somebody like that? What I refer to is somebody that just loves talking about themselves. They love talking about all the things that they have done, all of their accomplishments, all the things that they have achieved, how tough they are, what a straight gun barrel shooter they are. They love talking about how they are this and they are that in whatever area of life. I've known a few of them through the years. Matter of fact, as I mentioned, I know that I've been guilty of it myself. That's one of the many things that I love about the Word of God. The more you get in this book and the more that you study this book, the more the Spirit of God through His Word will start knocking off some of the rough edges of your life. And when you begin to start tooting your own horn, start talking about yourselves, all of a sudden that Spirit of God will say, no, this thing is not about you. It's all about me. It's giving glory to who I am. And that's what we're finding in the Word of God today in this tough topic. So today, for a little while, as we consider the tough topics for today's church, I want to speak to you on this thought of tooting your own horn. And I just want you to put your heart and your mind in the Bible and trust your Bible. Just fall in love with your Bible. What the Bible says, rely on it and stick with it. Three things. First of all, write them down with me if you would, please. But there is the accomplishments realized. The accomplishments realized. Now, I feel it is important that this stage in the message to just pause for just a moment and talk about why that we are so often apt to shine the light upon ourselves or toot our own horns. It's amazing how things sometimes just, you hear it, you see it, they stick in your mind. Something that you may have experienced many, many years ago, but it just sticks in your mind. And many, many years ago, I guess it was, I remember I was watching a comedic sitcom of some type on television one night. And of course, it was a dynamic of a home and a family. And there was a little bit of an argument going on between the husband and the wife. I know that never happens in anybody's homes around here. But in this instance, there was a little bit of an argument that was going on. And the wife said to the husband, because she was always concerned about how he seems to always get the attention. The wife looks and says to the husband, why is it that you always have to steal the spotlight To which the husband replied, as only husbands can sometimes, said, "Honey, it's not a matter of me stealing the spotlight. Sometimes the spotlight just seems to find me everywhere that I go. I'm not trying to. It just always finds me." You know, when we talk about this matter of stealing the spotlight or tooting our own horn in our lives, whether it be a large or a small thing, the reason that we are so apt to do this is because in our flesh, in our natural born flesh that we have in this life, we so often enjoy the accomplishments that we have had, and we want to make them known to other people. We want folks to know, "Hey, I've done something good for a change." And we'll get out there and we'll try to publish that, and we'll let them know about that. I began thinking about this, and in an effort to try to break it down in a way that we can all understand it, and we talk about how that we're so guilty of tooting our own horns sometimes. And what's so dangerous about that, by the way, is we take glory away from the Lord. We're taking the attention away from God, the only one that deserves it. But when looking to break this down, I couldn't help but think of why one of the reasons we're so guilty of this is because of a good endeavor. And what I mean by that is we break out in life and we try to do some good deeds. Now listen, church, I am not saying for one second that we should not do any good deeds. We should always strive to do some good deeds. Go out and do some good things and some great things for God. We find it all through the scripture. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 16, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Let your light so shine before men." Why? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is okay for this world to be able to see some good deeds, some things you're trying to do for God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 27, it says, actually, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due." In other words, somebody that has done something good, you ought to recognize that. You may even need to compensate that or whatever that it might be. And he goes on to say, when it is within your power to do it, you ought to recognize some accomplishments of some people. Now, one of the problems that a lost world has with this, now listen closely because I want to thread this needle so everybody understands. One of the problems a lost world has with this is they believe that good deeds is going to help them get to heaven one day. Good endeavors is going to help them get to heaven one day. And that is a real big issue with the world out there. But listen to me, church. It is not a matter that a good deed or a good effort is going to get them to heaven one day. For a saved person, that's not the case at all. What it is evidence that you have been saved if you are out there doing some good things in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory. You see, the world out there, they have got it backwards. They think good deeds are going to earn their salvation. The believer, however, should do good deeds to prove their salvation, to show that you've been saved. When was the last time that you just stopped everything that you were doing? You set aside what you wanted to spend your money on and spend your time on, and you went out just to do a good deed, to have a good endeavor for somebody that was going through a hard time, somebody that was struggling in life. That's what we're talking about. But it actually goes a little bit further than just this. Because we as Christians, and don't forget this, literally meaning Christians, we are a little Christ. Our good endeavors, we should always do our absolute best in with what I'll call a great effort. It's one thing to do some good deeds, right? Some good efforts, but we need to make some good deeds or good endeavors, but we need to make some great efforts in it. We need to do our absolute best. Now, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23 tells us about that. "And whatsoever ye do," the Bible says, "do it heartily, as unto the Lord." He lets us know we need to do it with all our might and not unto man. It does not matter, ladies and gentlemen. It does not matter what our good endeavor really is. Doesn't matter what you're going out to do. You ought to do your best in it. We were talking about this last week as we were studying that mile of excellence and what we were learning from that. Again, in the Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that mile of excellence. And look, if you're going to serve God, you ought to do your absolute best in it. If you're going to work in the booth, don't be satisfied with the mile of duty. Get on the extra mile. If you're going to sing in the choir, don't be satisfied with the mile of duty. Get on the extra mile. If you're going to play the instruments, don't be satisfied with a mile of duty. Get on the extra mile. If you're going to come to Great Commission Day, don't be satisfied with a mile of duty. Get on the extra mile. And so on. Throughout the work of God. I think over the past, so particularly, four and a half or so years, in this COVID world that we are living in, we've come to the place today that nobody knows what customer service is anymore. Has anybody noticed that? Nobody knows what customer service is anymore. Nobody has any idea about hard work. They don't know what it is to give a high quality of work. My family and I were at a restaurant last night. And a restaurant where you've got a staff member, a server that comes and helps you. And I tell you what, all we wanted was a drink of water. That's all we needed. It wasn't anything difficult. I wasn't sending my food back to have it cooked more well. All we wanted was a drink of water. And we could not get the attention of the individual that was helping us and trying to serve our table. I mean, they were all over the place. You'd call them. They would intentionally, you ever seen it? They would intentionally not look your way out there. It's frustrating. It's irritating. But there is something that has happened, I believe, since COVID that has caused this whole mentality and this whole mindset. It's evident to me, it is my belief, that this TikTok, this social media, this COVID-influenced world that we are living in now, that they have allowed their minds to be so corrupted with all of these things that they don't even know what a great effort is anymore. I mean, a good deed they might be able to comprehend, but most of the time we do such a sloppy job on it, and we've got to push back against having that mentality in the church as well. And I believe it has crept into the church. We need to be a people that understands that we ought to do some good efforts, some good endeavors, but we have to give our best in it. We've got to do a great effort in what we are doing. Now, with all of that said, when we're in the middle of doing these good endeavors and making a great effort in it, no matter what it is, no matter how much it costs, how much it takes us, cost us, and how long it's going to take us, we ought to pour our guts into it. Hey, if you have the opportunity to cut somebody's grass for them, go out and do your very best at it. To cover somebody's shift at work, go out and do your best at it. To be able to pay somebody's bill, or maybe to buy them a meal or something. Do your very best at every opportunity that you are given. We should do these good deeds. It should be something that is constantly on our minds, and we should do it for the right purpose, and that is to prove the love of Jesus Christ to whomever that is on your behalf, letting them know, I love you. And the reason I love you is because the Lord Jesus loves you. It should not be for self-promotion. And listen to me, the reason it should not be for self-promotion is because the Word of God assures us that if we do it for our own gain, for our own self-promotion, to be able to gain attention to ourselves, we will lose our reward in heaven. We're gaining our reward here because when we get that attention, that spotlight shining upon us, but we'll lose our reward in heaven, the Bible tells us. So our motives must be right to do it for the glory of God. But so oftentimes when we go on and we do these good endeavors and we do this great effort, when we make such an effort in those things and we have some achievements and some accomplishments, it is just our natural nature to have a hunger to get all of the attention for it. And we want people to know that we've done something good. We want people to know that we've achieved and accomplished something. Those degrees on our walls, or those good deeds that we have done, or the accomplishments in our career. We want people to know that. That is our natural tendency in our flesh to do that. And so oftentimes we're just going to toot our own horn. We're going to let people know, even if it's little subliminal messages. You know what I mean? Look at what I've done. Look at what I've achieved. And look at what I've accomplished. By the way, when we toot our own horn, when we talk great about ourselves, we also need to remember all we're doing is proving that we were not doing it for the glory of God in the first place. Therefore, again, we'll lose. lose our reward. And that takes us into my second thought. Not only do we see right here that there's the accomplishments that are realized, but secondly, there is the adamant restraint or resistance that we have got to have. The adamant restraint. What I'm about to talk about right now, it is probably one of the greatest challenges that the believer, or even otherwise in this life, has to deal with on a daily basis. I mean, this really is a challenge. How many of you, just for a minute here, how many just want to be real honest right now, real with yourself, and would just admit that sometimes when it comes to shining the light on ourselves and our accomplishments, tooting our own horn, sometimes it is really hard not to do. Especially when you think that you've done some things that deserve a little bit of attention. Again, that is just our flesh operating, flaring up within us. That's just how we are. Now, this is such a challenge for all of us because of what I'm going to talk to you about now, and I'm going to enlarge upon this even a little bit further of what I've just said, because we have this fleshly desire, a fleshly desire. It is working within us that we want everybody to see what we have done. But it is that fleshly desire we have got to have an adamant restraint against. We've got to say, no, I'm not going to surrender to my flesh. And can I also say, one of the greatest days in our spiritual lives is when we will learn to say, no, I'm not going to surrender to my flesh, not just in this, but in any and all aspects of life. Now, when we study the Word of God, particularly here tonight, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we study the Word of God, these Gospels, we learn a lot about the Pharisees, don't we? Oh, we know a lot about those Pharisees, but we learn about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were nothing more than just a bunch of religious frauds. They were always tooting their own horns because of their good endeavors and their great efforts that they made in them. You see, there are a lot of ways that we can be labeled as and aligned with a Pharisee. But we need to know tonight that one of the ways that we will be aligned as a Pharisee is this fleshly desire that we have to toot our own horns about our good and great accomplishments. Now listen, that ought to be motivation enough not to do it. If there's one thing I don't want to be labeled as, it is a Pharisee, and they're out there. They really are. I don't want to have any part of that kind of stuff. That ought to be motivation to us to learn just to keep our mouths shut. It doesn't matter if we went and paid off the mortgage of a widow, and it cost us $100,000. You don't have to go and broadcast that. By the way, if you've got $100,000 right now, I want to be talking to you, okay? Somebody say amen right there. No, it doesn't matter what your good deed may have been. You don't go out and you broadcast that. You just don't do it. You see, when we begin to speak highly of ourselves, now listen to me, and when we begin tooting our own horn, and we begin talking about all of our good achievements and our good accomplishments, what we have done in this life, that is a telltale sign that we are operating in the flesh. We are playing spiritual and religious games. That's all we're doing. And you know what it is? It is a red flag to this world that is watching our lives and this world that is listening to the things that we say. It is a red flag to all of them, and it is letting them know that we have a hole in our spiritual character. One of the many reasons that I despise this political season that we are in, Jesus is our only hope. One of the many reasons that I despise it is you got all these candidates, local, national, doesn't matter. They're out there, and what are they doing? They are tooting their own horn. They are out there saying, I'm the one that can fix this. The problem is the other one. I'm the only one that's got the right policy. I'm the one that has achieved this in life before I got into politics. I'm this and I'm that. And they're out there just talking themselves up about everything. They're the one that invented the wheel. They're the one that have thrown the party. They're the ones that are the guests of the honor at the party. They're the ones who baked the cake, brought the cake, and are eating the cake at the party. They are the chief of it all. It eats all over me. When you see those types, it just drips with pride. God is not honored with it in any way. British actor, maybe you've heard of him before, his name is Michael Wildings, and he was once asked if there's some type of traits, character traits, that you can tell an actor by if you just simply passed them on the street or you were talking to them. And this was his reply, this actor, and I quote, he said, without a doubt, you can pick out an actor by the glazed look that comes over their eyes and over their face when the conversation wanders away from themselves. Whenever conversation goes away from somebody else, he said, you can see that glazed look that comes over their face. I believe that's true. See, many times we don't realize when people are talking to us and they're looking at us square in the eyeballs, and we'll have this glazed look that may come over our face. Maybe it's because we're not talking about us. We don't want to talk about anything else, any other subject. But I tell you, can I tell you this much as well? If you're ever talking to somebody, and all of a sudden that person you're talking to has a glazed look that comes over their face or over their eyes, it may be a good sign that you are talking too much about yourself and too highly about yourself. You might need to redirect the conversation to something other. If you lose their attention, you may be talking too much about yourself. Oscar Wilde said this. He was overheard saying this one time to somebody, and they wrote it down. Wilde said this. He said, come over here and sit next to me for a little while. I'm dying to tell you all about myself. Come over here and sit down next to me. I'm just dying to tell you all about myself. Now, it's easy for us to be critical of that because we can be critical of it. But the bottom line is, how many times in our own life have we thought that? Hey, you people don't even know what you're talking about. You people are having boring conversations. Y'all just come over here and sit next to Brother Daniel. He's dying to tell you about himself. And I mean, why not? He's magnificent. Everything about him, surely it is. But sometimes our human nature is that way. We just think conversation would be a whole lot better if we just focused on me. If you just let me tell you about my life experiences. If you just let me tell you about my successes and all of my accomplishments in life. And that's how our flesh, again, it is our natural tendency to want to toot our own horn and talk about how good and how great we really are. But remember, that is a glaring and a frightening trait and a frightening sign that we are a self-centered individually and we are individual and we are living our lives without the Spirit of God controlling our life, and we have to constantly always make it about us and about our lives. And we do not always have to be the center of attention. Did you know that? We do not always have to be the center of attention. But because of this fleshly desire that we have, this is why that we have got to have a firm denial to toot our own horn. We've got to say absolutely not. An adamant restraint. I'm not going to do it. There's got to be something within us that is stronger than the natural tendency that we have to speak highly of ourselves. We've got to have that denial within us that is bigger than that desire that is within us. We're back in our text now, Proverbs 27. Look at the verse with me. Verse number 2. It says, let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't talk about yourself. Not your own mouth. He says a stranger. We'll deal with that here in just a minute. Not thine own lips, the Bible says. You know what Solomon is adamantly saying right here? I mean, he adamantly lets us know. He says, hey, do not open your mouth about yourself. Do not let your lips wander and run about yourself. Solomon is saying, hey, keep your mouth shut. Keep your lips sealed about yourself. There must never be a time that you toot your own horn. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that we have got to work on. This is something that we have got to get under control in our life. Again, we've got to have this firm denial to come over our fleshly desire and to take it over. And can I tell us that every time we have a fleshly desire that comes up and we want to toot our own horn, we need to be reminded that we were nothing without Him. We are nothing without Him. We will never be anything without Him. And when that desire comes up within us, we've got to just stop and say, absolutely not. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'd be in hell right now if it were not for the goodness of God in my life. That's what we've got to learn to do. I like what we heard John Flavor say right here. He said, they that know God will be humble, and they that know themselves cannot be proud. They that know God will be humble, and they that know themselves cannot be proud. I wonder how many of us can testify on this Sunday night that if you really admitted who you really were, you don't have one way and one reason, one means that you could ever be proud of yourself. But if you get to know God real good, you realize how good God is. God is the reason you've got a roof over your head. God is the reason you had a meal to eat today. God is the reason you have a shirt to put on today. God is the reason you had a car and gas to be able to get here today. God is the reason you don't have to go to hell one day. You'll realize that without Him, you're nothing. It'll humble yourself before a holy God. You'll go to blessing His name. I won't have to rally you when you come to church. You'll fall down before that righteous, that good, and that gracious God every time you get into His presence. Moody said it this way. I recommend you write it down. He said, God sends no man away empty, except those who remain to be filled with themselves. God won't send you away empty unless you just choose to be full of yourself. Why is it that we walk out of here empty so oftentimes? Why is it that our lives just get consumed with what's going on with ourselves, tooting our own horn? We come into the house of God, and we are the same when we come, when we walk out as we were when we came in. There is no spiritual difference. You're sitting here and you're occupying a seat in the church. There is no difference in your life. God won't let you do that if you really empty yourself of yourself. But it is our pride and it is our self that is standing in the way of God moving in our life. And I'm telling you that tonight some of us need to fall down on an altar on our knees before God, say, God, empty myself of myself. I want you. I gotta have you. I'm learning more and more each day. I gotta have God, Brother Daniel. I gotta have God, Brother Randy. I cannot make it through this life on my own. I've tried. I still try sometimes in my flesh, but I've come to the place where I've got to daily surrender and die to myself. I gotta have God if I'm gonna make it in this life. So we understand that there is the accomplishments realized, and then there's the adamant restraint that we've got to have. But can I share a word with you quickly right now about the appropriate recognition. The appropriate recognition. All right, now follow me. While we are never to toot our own horn, that does not mean that God does not permit our accomplishments to be recognized and to be known. But there is a way to do it that will bring glory to God. Now, how many of you are still with me right now? Have you just totally shut me off? Listen to what the Word of God actually tells us. He tells us, first of all, the way that we need to handle this is through a stranger's remarks. Now look again at your Bible. Put your eyes and your heart in your Bible. Verse number 2, Proverbs 27 and verse number 2. It says, let another man praise thee. Again, simple enough, right? Can everybody understand that? I mean, we don't need to do a word study and translate the Hebrew all to us right here, do we? We all understand that, right? Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. What's the next words? He says, a stranger. Now, this word stranger, it is actually speaking of someone that you're not super duper close to. It is someone other than yourself, someone that is not closely related to you, that does not know your life history. But they have enough, I mean, they have enough spiritual discernment about themselves to just be able to look at your walk, be able to look at your talk, and to be able to tell that you're real. Be able to tell you're not a Pharisee. You're not a hypocrite. You're not a fraud in your life. These are those people who look at your lifestyle. They look at your conversation. They look at your countenance. They study your motives and your motivations. These are the people who sense our passion for the Lord. These are the people who review our good and our good, great accomplishments for the Lord. And based upon our conduct and what we are showing to this world, they have a peaceful confidence in speaking highly of us. People that say, my goodness, there's something different about that old boy. There's something different about that lady. There's something different about that young person. I don't know him. I may have just passed him on the street. I may have just known him, for I've had people come into this church before. I've never met him before. But as soon as I look in their eyes, as soon as I shake their hands, there is something different. You can tell that they bear witness with the same spirit that I've got living within me. There is a God that is inside of them. It is a God that is bigger than anything this world has. And there's something there, and you can just simply see it. I want to say something here that's a little backwards from what our standard of society is today in our mindset and the way that we think. Sometimes those who are outside of our circle of our past, okay, are you seeing me? Those that are outside the circle of our past, they are able to recognize and they are able to speak of our accomplishments for the Lord with more accuracy than those who have known us our entire lives. Why? Because they're not judging you by who you used to be. They're not looking at everything you've ever done through critical eyes. They're not listening to everything you've said based on who you were 25 years ago. They have forgotten the fact that there's a God in heaven that is big enough that can change your life and can totally rearrange you. Brother Randy, aren't you thankful that the world that knew you 25 years ago doesn't know the same person today? Aren't you thankful that the world that knew you 25 years ago, not the same person today? Aren't you thankful that the world that knew you a few years ago is not the same person today? Aren't you thankful the world that knew you a few years ago is not the same person today? I want you to look at me. I'm grateful that the world that knew me 10, 15, 20 years ago, they don't know the same guy I am today. And to all glory be to God for that. You see, they're so hung in everything that you've always said or the things that you've always done. Your past mistakes their perceived mistakes. And let me just pause right there for just a second. And let me just remind us again that everything we may think is a mistake of everybody else, it may not be a mistake. You don't know what they're faced with until you're walking in their shoes. I've got people, and you've got them as well. They have been critics of me through the years, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about with the criticism that they have. Sometimes it's a perceived mistake. You just throw that off and you press on for God. You say, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to stay in line with who God is. But there are people out there, they are still remembering you because of your past mistakes. They are judging you because of your past mistakes or your perceived mistakes. And while they're in the middle of that station of their life, they don't even realize that the goodness of God, by means of the grace of God and the mercy of God, while they're hung and judging you and looking down on you for who you used to be, they don't realize it, but you just passed them on the highway of spiritual growth, and they don't even have a clue that you've gone on with God and left them standing out in the dust. God has the ability to change lives. Be very careful how you look back at somebody's name and say, I got no confidence in that guy because of something he did a long time ago. I'm telling you, there's people in my life They wouldn't come to a church that I pastored for anything because they have a memory in their mind of something that I did, something that I said, some way that I may have acted. Aren't you grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ, the dial of the Bible of 1 John 1:9, the Christian soap that'll clean you all up, and God can still take all those messed up pieces, all those messed up parts of life. He'll put them together. He'll take somebody who was walking the streets on drugs. He'll take somebody that was homeless, and he'll put them in a booth back there running a sound system. He'll put them up here testifying of the goodness of God. You take somebody's life and you look at what God's doing for them now and not what happened decades ago, years and years ago. Hold on to the fact God has the ability to change lives. While we're talking right now about this stranger's remarks, look at the flip side. I don't want to confuse you, but look at the flip side. Because at the very same time, we've got to be a little bit careful about those. The Bible uses this word praise that is given to us, literally translated to us here of raving or celebratory, celebrating who you are. You got to be careful that somebody doesn't overdo it. I mean, they come up to you and they say, "Man, I tell you what, you know how to dress. You know how to comb your hair. You know how to tie your tie just right. You know how to walk the walk. Everything about you is just right. You've got it all down." Listen, when you stand up to speak, you captivate attention of everybody. I tell you, you're the greatest pulpiteer since Adrian Rogers. I have never heard anybody preach any greater than maybe, just maybe D.L. Moody may have had a better sermon than you, than Charles Spurgeon may have. I've never seen it. Be careful there. Because if you're not careful, that praise of another man, that stranger we're talking about, it'll cause pride to swell up in your life. That as well will destroy us. I talk about it all the time. There's got to be Bible balance. Don't lean to the left. Don't lean to the right. There's error in both. Stand up straight on the authority of the holy, inspired, inerrant, immutable, irreplaceable Word of God. You've got to have balance, and the Bible teaches us to be a people of balance. Flattery will ruin a man. Flattery will ruin a life. Solomon also said it in Proverbs 26 and verse number 28. He said, "A flattering mouth," he says, "it worketh ruin." It will destroy us. So while it is appropriate to have someone else recognize and speak well of our good and our great accomplishments that we have had for the Lord, we must be alert that it doesn't make our pride swell up. It doesn't turn us into something that's going to be harmful to us. Solomon is simply saying that if we want to be used of God, if we want to be filled with the Spirit of God, a spirit-filled believer, if we want to be somebody who walks with God, who abides by the Word of God, who obeys the commandments of God, we must never toot our own horn. But if anything good is ever said about our lives, it must come from somebody else that is out there who has looked in your eyes. They've watched your deeds and your actions, your conversation and your lifestyle, and they say, "That man is real." And those are people that have spiritual discernment about them. Now follow me, because appropriate recognition, it must come from a stranger's remarks. But then, here's something we also struggle with. Then there has to be a sincere response. You ever had somebody pouring it on you about your clothes, about your haircut, about the way that you speak, how eloquent that you really are, and you're standing there and your eyes are like, "What? Who are you talking about?" You ever had somebody paying you a bunch of compliments? And you're standing there thinking in your mind, "What facial expression am I supposed to use here? What kind of body language do I show? Am I supposed to turn away? Am I supposed to look at them in their eyes?" Awkward! It's just a weird moment. And you don't know how to respond. There may not be anything wrong with what they're saying, okay? They may not, you know, go down the line of flattery. They may just, the Spirit of God may be a stranger to you, and the Lord sent them by to pick you up on a low day. But even then, you're thinking, "I can't be that good. I can't be." But God may have sent them by just to be an encouragement and a help to you. And you sometimes you just don't know how to respond. Let me take us back again to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Remember, it's the Lord Jesus' sermon on the mount. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now follow me. Have you ever considered that proof of our good works, how real we are, is in how we respond to a level of appropriate recognition that is being given to us for our good and great accomplishments? You see, a wrong response will poison it for us. It'll ruin everything good somebody may have actually seen in us, if that's even possible. In that moment, listen to me, we are standing at a crossroad. Because how we respond will make or break what people think of us next. They may have you, they may think of you to be the perfect candidate to fill that vacancy in the Trinity if there ever was one. They may have you up that, but your body language, the way your eyes respond, the words that you say in response to them, if we are not careful, we will rob God of the glory. We will lose our reward. We will lose our credibility with that person, and we'll just fall from where they had actually placed us and were trying to be gracious to us. I've learned, folks, and look, there is not a plastered answer that we can give on this. But I've learned that the best thing to do is just to point your fingers toward the heaven and say, praise the Lord, to God be the glory for great things that He has done. I don't think you can ever go wrong with that. Next time, preacher, somebody comes up to you and tells you that was the finest sermon that they've ever heard, hey, point your fingers to the heaven and say, to God be the glory for that. Praise the Lord. The next time somebody comes up to you and tells you and gives you an appropriate recognition for the song you sang, point your fingers to the heaven and say, praise the Lord, to God be the glory. The next time somebody comes up to you and offers you a bit of stranger's recognition for the fact that you went out and you did something good for God, just simply point your fingers to the heaven and say, praise the Lord, to God be the glory for what He has done. Don't toot your own horn. Don't even consider doing that. Just simply say to God be the glory. Start tooting the horn of the only one that's worthy. Amen. Point the glory toward Him. But I tell you, if we give a sincere response to a stranger's remarks, what we'll learn is God will take us further by doing that, instead of us building our own self up, and that'll bring us to a strengthened or a spread reputation. You see, those good and those great accomplishments that someone else approaches us about and they give us an appropriate recognition for to ourselves, let me assure you that they won't stop with just you. But they'll go out there and they'll say, my goodness, you should have seen the countenance on that individual's face when they were telling me their story. My goodness, you should have seen the glow of God on their face when they were singing their song. My goodness, you should have sensed the power of the Holy Spirit of God when He was preaching that sermon. And they'll go out and they'll spread that story to everybody that they can come in contact with. And folks, it'll open doors of opportunity that you could have never imagined. And above all, it'll give absolute glory, praise, honor to the God who deserves it. Mickey, you can come on to the piano if you would. Many of us know, we recognize the name Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia. The moderator of the service, he was introducing Taylor. And it is said, as the moderator was doing so, that he used eloquent and glowing terms to do it. He told the large congregation on that day of Taylor's accomplishments in China. And then he used this word, and he said, Hudson Taylor today is our illustrious guest. Hudson Taylor got up out of his seat, and he walked up behind the pulpit, and he just stood there, folded his hands, dropped his head, and then he looked up, and he opened his sermon with these words. He said, "Dear friends, I am just the little servant of an illustrious master. That's all I am." Can I tell you that's all I want to be? I don't ever want to be a guy that has the reputation of tooting his own horn. You know, Brother Joel, I'm afraid through the years, I'm sure I've been guilty of that. Talking about something that maybe I did that was a good accomplishment. So friends, whenever we have that fleshly desire that is swelling up within us to toot our own horn, may God help us to stop. May God help us to think. And in place of saying anything good about ourselves, may we just simply toot the horn of the only God who could have ever made it possible. The reason you're here today, it has nothing to do with anything you've done good. But it's because God smiled on you. God gave you a chance to be born in this nation. God gave you the opportunity to hear the gospel. In my case, as nearly a six-year-old boy, God put me in the home of a hellfire brimstone preacher who wasn't afraid of me. And he pointed me to the mighty cross. I thank God for the people he's put in my life. And I don't have a place to think highly of myself. And maybe tonight some of us just need to find a place down here and empty ourselves of who we really think we are. They that know God will be humble. And they that know themselves cannot be proud. Take a little trip down memory lane tonight. Be reminded of who you were, where God has brought you, and lift your hands and your heart and maybe your voice tonight and say, "I'm tooting the horn of Jesus. You did it all." Let's stand to our feet.